Just a couple more things. The parade starts at 7. You should probably be there by about 6, and that's at the CarQuest Auto Parts in Milheim, in that parking lot there, across from the storage area and the library. And also, on the background checks, nursery workers will need to fill those out as well. So anybody that works with the kids in any capacity will need to fill those out, please. John chapter 18 this morning. Let's turn to John 18. And let's begin reading in verse 19 of John chapter 18. What is truth? John chapter 18 and verse 19. Jesus is before the high priest here, as he's been betrayed by Judas Iscariot. The trial has begun, which is going to culminate in his crucifixion. And the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews also resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said." And when he thus spoke, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they said therefore unto him, "Art not thou also one of his disciples?" He denied it, and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, "Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die." Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out and again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find no fault in him at all." This question, what is truth? 2,000 years old, and yet it seems to be asked with even greater frequency in this 21st century in which we live. It's heard in the classrooms of our school. What is truth? Does 2 plus 2 actually equal 4? With the Common Core thing coming through, it's no longer important to have the right answer, just as long as you follow the right steps. Truth is being erased in our classrooms. What is truth? It's parroted in the media, over the television, radio, and various places. It's debated in our court system. And it's even questioned from our pulpits. The eternal search for truth is pursued by the masses, but it seems few are capable of discovering what it is. Some regard just asking the question sufficient. Don't even need to get the answer. Just, I put the question out there. That's the end. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 for a second. Hold your finger here in John 18. We'll be coming back, but go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul's writing at the end of his life, writing to Timothy, the young man who he had trained and placed into the ministry, is faithfully serving while Paul is in prison. And he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready. No, that's not what I want. It's Titus. No wonder that doesn't look right. Okay, sorry about that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right, I'm in the right spot now. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And as he's talking about the last times and all these things that are going to accompany the last times, which I believe we're in, as we see many of these things coming to pass in our day. Look what he says in verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But they asked the question. They put that out there. What is truth? But they never learned what that is. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. That's our condition which we're in today. You go back to John chapter 19 and you look at the context of that question which Pilate raised. And just, I want to go back for a moment and look at the three individuals that we see in this passage here and consider these things. First, in verses 19 to 23, we have the high priest. The guardian of the Old Testament law. The pinnacle of Judaism. He is the final authority in the ways of God for the people of Israel at this time. He presides over all the worship of the nation of Israel. In fact, the papal office of Roman Catholicism is very much fashioned after the idea of a high priest. Well, Jesus Christ is our high priest for Christians. But this man is the pinnacle of biblical truth, God's truth. And he's standing here and everything is a pretense of what he's doing as he's got Jesus Christ before him and he's questioning him and so forth. And he's not really interested in the truth. He has no desire to come to a knowledge of what the truth is. He wants only to maintain the religious system which he presides over. He wants only to get rid of this threat to that system which he has learned how to use for his own personal profit and benefit. He unjustly treats Jesus Christ. Look there. Let's see, what was it? Verse 22. And when he had thus spoken, that is Jesus, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? That was a violation. And that high priest stood there and said not a word as Jesus was unjustly slapped across the face. Or maybe even more severe than just a slap. He's not concerned about truth. You know, I heard someone talking some time ago, and they said that in our court system, most people would assume that the judge and the lawyers are intent on discovering truth. Doesn't that seem like what our court system should be about? To discern what the truth is. And this person said, you know, that's really not what it's about. Truth is not relevant in our court system, as it was not relevant in this mock trial that was taking place there. It's a decision that most satisfies all parties involved, apart from the truth. And I got to thinking about that as you go through maybe some different cases that stick into your mind. That seems to match. Truth wasn't a matter in the O.J. trial, O.J. Simpson trial. And so many other trials you can go through. And it wasn't about getting to the truth of the matter. It was about rendering a decision that was most palatable to all the parties involved. Truth has been lost. And it was lost here as he was unjustly treated. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. The high priest is concerned about one thing, maintaining his religious status quo. John chapter 8 and verse 40. Jesus again is speaking here before some of the Pharisees. He says, "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham." Jump down to verse 46. "Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God." The truth wasn't relevant to these people. It wasn't relevant to the high priest. It was a matter of this guy is a threat, and how do we get rid of him? And Pilate says, "What do I do with him?" Well, our law won't let anybody put him to death. Won't let us put him to death. So you do it for us. Because we need rid of him. We don't want him around. The high priest wanted nothing to do with truth. Look at verse 25, back in John 18. Verse 25. While all this is going on, John had come into the gate with Jesus Christ, and Peter kind of snuck along with him as well. And so Peter, as Jesus is being led around and between the high priest and Pilate and so forth, and Peter's just kind of standing there, verse 25, "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself." Just a bunch of them standing around there while all this is going on and kind of trying to keep warm around that fire. "And they said therefore unto him," that is to Peter, "Art not thou also one of his disciples?" Hey, I think I recognize you. You're with him. And he denied it and said, "I am not." One of his servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off. You remember, just hours before this, they're in the garden praying, and Judas Iscariot comes with the soldiers and betrays Jesus Christ to them with a kiss. And they start to take him, and Peter whips out his sword, whoosh, and off goes that ear. This guy was related to the man who lost an ear and had it put back on again. He knows what he's talking about. Yeah! I recognize you. Did not I see thee in the garden with him? You remember what you did to my relative? Peter then denied again. And immediately, the cock crew. Go back to John 6. Verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Who else are we going to turn to, Lord? That's Peter said that. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 16. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? The disciples, they sent, God, we know you're true. Peter's part of that. Go to John 14 now. John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus answered unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 17, verse 17. Jesus is praying here just before the betrayal. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The 3.5 years that Peter has been with Jesus Christ, he's been presented over and over and over again with the truth. He even acknowledges it. In fact, in Matthew chapter 16, he comes and Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And they said, oh, some say you're Elias, and some say that prophet. And he says, but whom say ye that I am? And it was Peter who spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you remember what Jesus said in response to that? Flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven hath revealed that unto thee. Peter had the truth, yet he denied the Lord. He confessed who Jesus Christ was, fully acknowledging the Messiahship of Jesus Christ. He had the truth. He just didn't hold to it. The high priest had the truth. He rejected it, wanted nothing to do with it. Peter failed under pressure. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 59. Never mind. I'm sorry, we don't need that. I want you to look at the third person, though, in this account here in John 18. Pilate. Go back to verse 28 again. John 18, verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas, which is the high priest, unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So while all this is going on, these Pharisees are very careful to keep themselves pure. Lying about what Jesus Christ has said and done. Trying to falsely have Him put to death. And yet, we want to be able to still observe our religious practice. We got to keep ourselves pure, so we can't go in there. You know, we can tell lies, we can do all these other things, but we can't go in that room with that Gentile. Pilate then, verse 29, went out unto them and said unto them, what accusation bring ye against this man. They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. They didn't answer the question. They just said, we wouldn't have brought him if it weren't true. Which was a lie. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. But it's all right to falsely accuse him. So he's put to death. They don't care about truth. They only care. Then Pilate's going on here. I'm sorry. And he says, verse 32, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, considering what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? He says, okay, I'm going to try to get to the bottom of this thing. He brings him in there. Then Jesus answered, sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee of me? Where'd you get this from, Pilate? Are you really believing what you're telling me here? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said to him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He's given him the answers, just not the answers he wants. He's, I'm here because this is my appointment. I'm here to give my life a ransom for many. He was a king. All this is true, but none of it's what Pilate wants to hear. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? He says, notice this, he states the question. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault at all. He didn't even wait for Jesus to give a response. He wasn't asking the question out of a desire to have the truth. He just threw that thing out there. And that's the way it's done today, too, folks. People don't want the truth. People don't want to know the truth. To Pilate, this truth was nothing more than an inconvenient interruption too early in the morning for him. An inconvenience that he didn't want to have to deal with. They got him out of bed to deal with this thing. He's disgusted with the whole mess. He wants no part of it. He just wants to wash his hands of it, which he tried to do later on. Truth was not important to any of these. Truth was in their very presence. It was right before their eyes, easily within their grasp. They each wrestled with it and for various reasons rejected it. Each one of these. Truth is really very easily accessible. But too often times, just like these three, for some reason, in some particular moment, we choose to reject it, wanting no part of it. Truth is easy. It's the consequences of accepting it that oftentimes are difficult. Our world is becoming increasingly more unstable. Thinking about the letter from the Holtz there in Sierra Leone. And you think about that unrest and that instability there just because of all the things that are going on there. But that's just a picture of what's going on in the entire world because people have rejected truth. Our founders valued truth. The Declaration of Independence has these words in the second paragraph. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Number one, our founders realize there is a God. Number two, they realize that that was the God that created all that exists. Number three, they realize that He was a personal God, not some distant, far removed, uninterested deity, but a God who is involved in the affairs of mankind, who is engaged in the affairs of man. And number four, that He is a kind and benevolent God, who favorably is involved with us. But as America becomes more and more secular, more and more removed from God, we are also removing ourselves more and more from the truth. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're done in John 18 now. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We read chapter 3 a little bit ago. The very next chapter, he starts out with this, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He's challenging Timothy to do this. And too oftentimes, the pulpits of America, they're more interested in tickling the itching ears than they are preaching the truth. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's where we're at, folks. Truth has been rejected. There are no absolutes. You know what's interesting about that statement? It's a truth, supposedly. But it's flawed because it's self-contradicting. That in itself is an absolute. See what happens when people reject the truth? It just, their minds just, something's out of kilter. Truth is relative. It changes according to the circumstance or the dictates. And the circumstance dictate the truth. It's whatever the immediate purpose demands. When Clinton was elected president, I remember watching that thing and watching his presidency unfold, and it struck me that, you know what that is? That's the product of our public school system. You remember, some of you may not remember this, but when he was on trial for being under impeachment for his shenanigans in the Oval Office, part of his argument was, what is the definition of the word is? Truth is relevant. That's what Bill Clinton was. The culmination of this progressivism that has crept into the school system and is changing our society. There it is, their crown prince. The shining example of what they set out to accomplish. And now, what have we got? The next step. As our president stands and spouts forth all this nonsense repeatedly, the things that he says, the things that he promises, have no relationship to truth and reality. It's about what serves His purpose at this present time. He has no intent on following through on any promises. It's just to say His truth for the moment. Because to them there is no truth. It's been rejected. How about another lie? Islam is a religion of peace. I don't know how many of you know who Bill Maher is. I certainly have no respect for the individual. He's disgusting, he's wicked, he's evil. But I got to agree with him in one point. In regard to Islam, he said this: when there are so many rotten apples, you've got to realize there's something wrong with the orchard. He said that in regard to Islam. At least he understands that truth. Doesn't mean that all Muslims are intent on blowing us up. But that's what Islam is about. It's not a peace religion. Our Supreme Court is right now, they've decided or refused to decide what life was. They're right now deciding what marriage is. Will they reject truth? In the beginning, it was not so, for God created them male and female. That's marriage, based on truth. This truth right here. Bruce Jenner. Oh, I'm a woman now. Truth is rejected. And just this week, this woman up in Spokane, Washington, Rachel Dolazel, I'm not sure if I pronounced her name correctly. She's some official in the city of Spokane. She's also head of the NAACP. She has put herself forth as being African American. Her parents came out this week, said, no, we're of German, I think English, and some Native American background. But she claims, because that's her truth, see, I'm black, even though the facts don't matter, and speak otherwise. This is where we're at, folks. Think about this. These different examples that I've given you, that truth has been abandoned, it's been rejected. So many pastors across this country don't have the truth. They don't have a Bible, they've got a do-it-yourself Bible. I'll pick this over here, and I like this version here, and I like this translation here, and I like what this manuscript says here. And they put together this hodgepodge that contradicts itself. My Bible, the King James Bible, has no contradictions. This is truth. And this is the word that I am to preach. But so even Christians today have rejected this for what they like. I prefer that translation. I like this translation. And so now, this truth is subject to my truth. I am the decider. I am the authority. That's where we're at, folks. In the churches, in our government, in our nation as a whole. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. The problem is truth has been obscured by a whole bunch of irrelevant information and details. And here's the result. Isaiah 59, verse 14. The judge and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. You look at things taking place in our justice system, And so oftentimes you think, what were they thinking? How could that decision have come down like that? Because justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. You try to do right, you stand for the truth, you make yourself a prey. You're a target. You're going to suffer for it. So what do you do? Do you do like Peter and deny the truth for the benefit of your present circumstance? Too often times that's the case, Christian. We won't stand. Where does this confusion come from? Look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Why is there confusion? It's not of God, because He's not the author of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And you go back to Eve in the Garden of Eden, and what was it? Yea, hath God said. Questioning truth. Substituting the truth. That's what Satan did. And that's what Satan continues to do with us today. That's where the confusion comes in. That's where this idea of rejecting truth comes from. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 43. John 8, 43. Why do you not understand my speech? We looked at this passage or this chapter earlier. This is Jesus again before the Pharisees. He says, even because you cannot hear my word, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. All this confusion, all this backing off from the truth originates from Satan, because people are listening to the wrong one, the father of lies, instead of he from whom truth originates. Look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100 and verse 5. Psalm 100 and verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. John chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, the Word which was God in verse 1 of this chapter, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He who stood before Pilate and Caiaphas, the high priest, the truth right before them, and they rejected it. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 8:32, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But the lies bring a person into bondage. When we reject the truth, there's a danger there. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Truth begins with God. Without God, you've lost touch with the truth. You can't grasp the truth apart from God. You can't understand where this world came from or why God put you here apart from God. And without those two things, nothing else is going to fit. You're building upon a faulty foundation, and it's all going to crumble and fall apart one day. We need to discover the truth. And we can't do that apart from Him. Look at Psalm 86 and verse 11. Just a few more verses and we wrap it up here this morning. Psalm 86 and verse 11. David said this, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Christian, that needs to be our prayer as well. God, teach me. And as you teach me, I will walk in it. There needs to be that commitment on our part to stay with the truth, to hold to the truth, regardless of what the consequences might be. And that our hearts be united to fear God's name. Look at Psalm 119 and 130, which is covered up now, but on the back here it says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Thy word is truth. This is the source, folks. If you don't have the right one, you don't have the complete source for truth. Other Bibles contain the truth. This is the truth. Because there's places when other Bibles will be led astray. Not in this one. John 15, verse 26. John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Ghost is given to us to guide us into the truth of God's Word. But we need to, first, that desire to receive it. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Christians, we need to walk in the truth. We need to guard ourselves against the error, the lies that are out there. And we need to put forth the truth to those around us as well. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, help us, God, to have the courage to stand for the truth, even when it's inconvenient, uncomfortable, or maybe even dangerous. God, may our hearts and our minds be united to fear your name. May our commitment be to you and to your precious word and to being used of you in whatever way you deem that we might glorify your name and stand for the truth. Having our loins girt about with truth, God, as that piece of armor is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. God, give us the courage, the boldness that we need in this day and hour. Speak to the hearts of your people, God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.